So this morning, we're going to be looking at the reason for hope. We're going to be doing a four-week series on this. And today in our Advent, hope is the main picture. Now, one of the things that we know in our world is that there's a whole lot of discouragement. There's a whole lot of heartache. There's a whole lot of depression. Why? Because we live in a fallen and broken world. How many of you, as you've fought over the past few months, have had times of discouragement or overwhelmedness? Right, where you don't know where it's going to come from. I've talked to some of you guys that the Lord has delivered you from things like alcohol or drugs and say, hey, this is the longest time I've ever been without alcohol in my life, or the longest time without pornography, or longest time, whatever it is, Jesus is working. And the time that Jesus came, it wasn't much different than our world today. There was brokenness in families. There was brokenness in community. There's brokenness with oppression and financial hardships. I love this first quote I have by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a man who served the Lord, and as he's in Germany and he's a pastor and he's seeing the oppression, he's seeing the evilness go around, he chooses to stand up on the right side of history for the Jews. And chooses to stand up for the hope that is found in Christ, and ultimately he is killed and hung with a piano string. Yet here's what he says. A prison cell which one hopes and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent. What does he mean by that? He means that if hope in ourselves can never give us complete peace, it can never lead us to Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you work here. It doesn't matter if you run sound every week or children's ministry or what you do here. The only thing that can bring true hope is a personal relationship with Christ. And that is what our world needs. Webster's dictionary defines hope as this: to cherish a desire with anticipation, to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment, or to expect with confidence and trust. So hope isn't just blindly leaping into something like I'm not going to sit on a two-legged chair and say, I hope this holds me, right? That'd be stupid. I'm not going to hope that the government's going to fix all my problems, because I know that's not going to work, right? I'm not going to hope the Cleveland Browns get to the Super Bowl, right? These are things. Okay, listen. Hey, I want it really bad too, okay? That was like fighting words there, but when we hope in Christ, we hope in something that's assured. The Bible actually has two words that they use for hope. It's yakel and kavah. And both of these words have this deep long of anticipation and excitement and the fact that God is going to come through. Why? Because his character doesn't change. If you remember, about 5 months ago, we did a study on the character of God, and God does not change. Amen? So if God makes a promise to the children of Israel, if he makes a promise to Isaiah that he's going to send his deliverer, or even Job, which many people think is even though Genesis obviously comes first, but Job was the first book that was written. You look at that, and Job loses his wife, he only has his wife who's nagging him. He loses his kids, he loses his livestock, he loses his friends, he has boils all over his body. And yet he said, but I know my Redeemer lives. That's what it is. It's going through hardships in your life and say, you know what? I know things seem impossible, but I serve an impossible God. So yakel means simply to wait for. How many of us know we're not good at waiting for things, right? Especially in America. I remember in Christmas growing up, we'd always shake the box to see what was in it. Luckily, it was never a puppy. Okay, that was bad. Okay. But we're impatient people. We want results right away. That's why one of the number one searches is quick weight loss programs or quick ways to gain money. But kavah also means to wait, but it's the feeling of tension and expectation, like a twisting of a rope, waiting on the edge of your seat for something to happen. It's excitement. Let me ask you this, New Baltimore Community Church, do we have an excitement about what the Lord's going to do and what he's doing? Have we seen hearts and lives change and transformed by the gospel? And then we get to a new situation and think, oh, what's going to happen now? God is good. We're just going to quickly look at a few passages here. that the Lord laid on my heart even this morning. So maybe it's a bad thing when you add things in the morning, but I did it. So hope your pot roast doesn't burn. All right, here we go. Isaiah 8:17 says, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. What this passage is talking about is there's a time where God isn't present in the Israelites' life, not because of him, but because of their sin. But he says, I'm going to put my hope in God. Next verse is Psalm 130, verses 5 or 7. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Whenever it says it twice, it's important. You say, hey, I'm emphatic that I'm waiting for the Lord. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? The psalmist is saying, I'm going to put so much hope in waiting on the Lord, just like all of creation from the time it started waited for the Messiah to come. There was this groaning, there was this yearning, there was this passion to wait. Psalm 39:7 says, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that hope has come? You know, I think about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and when he's out there, and we just heard this last week, right? And the prophets of Baal, they're cutting themselves, and they're calling out, and guess what? He never comes because he's not real. How many of you has Jesus stepped in a way that you never thought he would have before? And he's intervened. We need to share these things. And last verse before we move on here is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiable, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. There's an anticipation again. We don't talk about it as much, but do we have an anticipation of heaven? The things are to come, and it all comes because Jesus Christ came. This is something we should be excited about. So our first point, now that I added that first stuff, all right? There is hope that leaves us empty. Maybe it's that job promotion that you thought you were going to get. Maybe it's the marriage that you thought God was going to restore and it didn't. Maybe it's a loved one that you put your hope in, and just time and time again, you're let go. But when we place our hope in our possessions, I put positions, yeah, but positions, possessions, ourselves and others, we will often be left to be discouraged and disappointed. I can't tell you, there's so many things in this world, including myself, that I thought, okay, this time things are going to be different. It is only when I yield to God and say, God, I need you. Let me just be honest. If you're here hopeless and discouraged and you're feeling defeated today, you're actually in a really good place. Because when we get to our lowest place in life, that we realize we only have one place to look, and that's up to the King of Kings. Amen? A few things that we see here is that everything on earth will perish. We're going to look at these verses in Matthew chapter 6 and Ecclesiastes. And so Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 20, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And there's so many people that even thought Jesus was going to come and establish an earthly kingdom and overthrow the Roman government, and that all of a sudden the Jewish people are going to be freed from oppression. Guess what? We're over 2,000 years later, and the Jewish people are still under attack, right? But God is still God. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where their thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can I tell you this? Whatever discourages you or uplifts you the most is what you worship. Think about that. Whatever discourages you or uplifts you most is what you worship. So if it's your spouse, if you're having a good day and you're like, life's wonderful, guess what? Wait till tomorrow, right? If it's your job, it's going to happen. If it's others, people, it's going to happen that way. But if your hope is in Jesus Christ, it does not fade. When we hear about Chris Faye and we want to support her going to missions or the missions work we did in Mexico City, that's stuff that lasts an eternity. Next week, we're going to hear from people whose lives are changed because of Jesus working. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Solomon had everything. He had every possession you could ever imagine. And yet, he gets to the end of his life, and as an old man, he writes this: "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever." Interestingly, a study has been shown that wealth does not make you happy. It does not give you hope. In fact, if you're a miserable person without money, you're going to be a miserable person with money. If you're a happy person without money, you're going to be a happy person with money. Maybe you're working 70, 80 hours a week to avoid family or things that last, and God's saying, "Hey, I want you to have a real hope in me." Do your kids see Jesus? Do others see him? Second part in this is the heart of man is not to be trusted. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" I love the one version says, "Wicked. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of their deeds." If you are pursuing the things of this world, you're never going to find hope and peace. I know what I do in my own life, it never works out. Another reason why we can't trust in things in this world are people. We should trust people, okay? I'm not saying don't be like afraid of everyone. But what I'm saying is if your hope is found in people, are going to be let down. Why? Romans 3, 23, "For we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory." We're all messed up sinners. But the reason why we're here today is because we have a good God who loves us, laid it all down for us. Last point with this section is we shouldn't let the worldly success of the world deter our hope. How many of us, we see other people who seem like they're not following God and we think, "Look at all the good things they're getting. Look at all the things that are happening to them. And then my car's broke down. My refrigerator's broke down. My dog has diabetes." I don't know. And we get discouraged. I love it when you're here, by the way. It makes my corny joke seem a little better. But Proverbs 23, 17 through 18 says this: "Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there's a future and your hope will not be cut off." That's that kavah, that hope, that anticipation, that longing. God, what are you going to do next? You know, last year we were going through a time where we were discouraged and think, "God, what's next? What are you going to do? Lord, what is our life going to look like?" And then he brought us you guys. Our second point is hope without expectation or fulfillment makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13:12 tells us that when we go into situations, it says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick. Do you know that God is so good? He doesn't do that to us. He gives us promises. Amen. When I look out, if you see this group of people you don't know as much here, I get so hopeful and so joyful because these are people who I love and they're serving Jesus faithfully. And I've got to build their life. When I hear, get to come on and I get to see you guys growing, when I hear the kids in our Wednesday night ministry and I say, "Hey, who's a missionary?" And they say, "We all are." And they come back and they're sharing how they're sharing the gospel and these young kids learning scripture and learning about the Bible. Do you know that the church is still alive and active, no matter what we see in the world? When we hope in something that won't come to fruition, we have a false sense of optimism. The psalmist realizes that their hope was in themselves, not when their hope is in themselves, they became discouraged and depressed within themselves. And so in Psalm 42 and 43, back-to-back chapters, David is going to go on to say, why so depressed, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, listen, God, I don't know what you're doing. I thought if I followed you, life would be easy. Maybe God's trying to get our attention, or maybe he just wants us to rely on him, or maybe life is just hard. Maybe this isn't our final destination. Maybe that kavah is saying, God, we know there's a place called heaven that you promise us in John 14 that you say you go to prepare a place for us. So Psalm 42, 11 says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Have you ever woken up just discouraged and depressed, like, not getting out of bed today? And then your kids come in the room and like, okay, I guess. Or Psalm 43, 5, one chapter over. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Maybe you're here today and you have been far away from the Lord because you're angry and you're frustrated and you're discouraged. Do you know that God is big enough to handle that? He's big enough to handle your anger. He's big enough to handle your hurt. He's big enough to handle your fears. And yet the psalmist, what he's realizing here is that I will once again praise the Lord because he doesn't change. Situations change. Our hearts change. People around us change. But God does not. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, your ultimate destination does not change. Amen? Psalm 137, we see that we can rest in his unfailing love because of Jesus. It says, O Israel, I hope the Lord, I hope in the Lord, for the Lord, with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him plentiful redemption. Do you know that we can have hope that's assured because Jesus already came over 2,000 years ago, lived that sinless perfect life, died on the cross, but guess what? He didn't stay dead. He rose again. In fact, he appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection. If I were to stand on the street corner and get 10 people to say, hey, I just saw I don't know what I'd see. All right, so I just saw something amazing. It would win in court. But here's 500 people that Jesus appears to after his death, burial, and resurrection. And guess what? All of the disciples except for one died for the sake of knowing Christ by being crucified or killed. Let me ask you this. Would you die for a lie? No. And they were tortured. We have hope in Jesus. Our third and final point is we have hope because Jesus has come. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 9 here. And one of the interesting things is the book of Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ. And yet there's times where it details his death on the cross and the pain that he would go through. And in this passage, and we're going to read this, and there's so much hope about the coming of Christ. Why can we have hope this Christmas? Guess what? You may not have the money to get all the gifts you want for your kids or things this year that you fought. Your life may not be the way that you anticipated it going. Your marriage may have taken twists and turns. But do you know what? God is still God and he's still in control. And do you know nothing is finished? Nothing is a finished product. There's no end in sight where God says, that's it, until you take your last breath. If you have breath in your lungs, Jesus can still heal and repair. And so Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 through 7 says, but there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the later time he has made glorious the way of the sea and the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Does our world live in darkness today? Listen to this. This is 700 years before the birth of Christ, and talking about the times Jesus would be born. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor you have broken on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in the blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Guess what? Jesus is bigger than the governments of the world. He's bigger than all the war and conflicts. Amen? I'm not hearing a lot of kavah there, but anyways. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. Jesus' church will remain throughout all eternity. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Do you notice one thing it doesn't say? That we will do anything for that hope. The Lord will do it. The Lord's the one that works and moves in hearts and lives, and he's the one that transforms people. Next week, we're going to get to hear about how Jesus changed lives. Because of Jesus, we no longer have to live in gloom and despair. Amen? I'm so grateful for that. Because of Jesus, we no longer have to live in darkness. If you're caught in sin right now, we're going to have time here in a little bit where you can come up to the altar and pray and we'll have people to pray for you. Get it right. Do you know there's no judgment in the house of the Lord? That God is a God who sets free. If you're struggling today, don't be like, oh, they're going to think I'm really weird if I come up for prayer. If you can't do it here, where else can you do it? Because of Jesus, we have a hope to be set free from the burdens of oppression. Isn't it going to be great one day we walk in the presence of God? There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more heartache. Denny is in the presence of God because he had a relationship with Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have a mighty counselor that we can go to so that he may become our Prince of Peace. If your heart is broken this morning, that is okay, but not if you sit in it. Take it to the Prince. Take it to King Jesus who gives hope and say, Jesus, I don't understand this. My heart is broken, but I need you to fix me and I need you to heal my heart. And Lord, help to place my hope in you instead of the things that I have. That Prince of Peace, I think our world needs that today. Because of Jesus, Because of Jesus' justice and righteousness, we never have to go back to despair, for his kingdom will reign forever. I remember when we were in college, one of my good friends, his wife came up to him one day and said, hey, I just want to go back to my life before Christ. And so if we can just go back to dating, that would be great. He said, you're my wife. Do you know the world will easily entice you to go back, but no one has ever found fulfillment in the things of this world. There's no amount of alcohol. There's no amount of women. There's no amount of drugs. There's no amount of money or possessions or anything that will ever find you peace like Jesus does. That's why I love Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights, because it's people that they know that they have hurts, hang-ups, and habits that they need to lay at the feet of Jesus. Really, we should all be there Tuesday night. I'm just saying. Here's our closing questions, though. Is your hope placed in the living God or in the things that fade? I remember when Nehemiah was first born, we got a new-to-us minivan, all right? It was a 2006 Honda Odyssey, and we're so excited. And I won't say who did it, but I might be in trouble for this one. But we had a youth group student who parked his truck in our driveway, and it was dark, and one of the two of us backed up the van, And there was a huge dent right in the back of it. And it rusted within like 3 or 4 months of this new van that we, new to us van. Things in this world don't last, but Jesus Christ does. Is your hope in yourself or others? Can I tell you that self-help has its place maybe, but it doesn't really change you. That's why Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things who what? Through Christ who strengthens me. Do you eagerly wait with anticipation for the Lord to work in your trials, or do you turn to despair? Do you say, oh, it doesn't matter anyway? Yes, it was a year. Thank you very much. Thank you. Romans chapter 8 says, for the creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. What does that mean? Jesus subjects and holds things all under his righteous right hands, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. If you're a child of God, we should be the most hopeful of all people, Apostle Paul says. This Christmas, will you eagerly wait in anticipation? Write down the things that are struggles or trials and say, God, I don't know how this ends, but I want to see how you're going to work in this. And then write down what God does. Will you put your hope in Jesus today? Maybe you're here today and you've never done that, you know? We would love to have more baptized next week, not to have just more people up here, but because we want to hear, let people's lives change. Psalm 130 verses 5 or 7 says, I wait for the Lord. Again, there's that kavah, there's that longing, there's that waiting, there's that sense of purpose. It's expectation. How many of you, when you were kids, you couldn't wait to run down to on Christmas morning, right? My kids come in our room at like 4 in the morning, I think. And then Meg does this thing where we hide the gifts around the house and they have to find it. And I'm like, ah. So anyways, but they get excited. Church, if we had the same excitement about Jesus Christ as we do for that, guess what? We wouldn't have room for anyone in our church. We'd have to go and start other churches. But he says, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman, more than the morning, more than the watchman in the morning. We read this again earlier today because it is important. And O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Lord Jesus, I just pray that this morning that there might be some in this room that do not know you. Lord, there might be some in this room that Lord, maybe there's couples that just need to come up front and say, hey, Lord, we need to give you our marriage. We need to give you our kids. We need to give you whatever is holding us back. Lord, this week, we want to have kavah in you. We want to have encouragement in you. That God, you're the God who works. You're the God who provides. Lord, maybe there's someone here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, and today is the day that they get to surrender their sins, they get to surrender their past, to walk in a new freedom and a new life in you. And Lord, there's a new expectation because they don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to work, but Jesus, we just know you can. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, and today's the day you say, you know what, I want that assurance of faith. I want to know that I can be changed and that my life belongs to him. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking but me here. Amen. Amen. You just pray this after me. Say, dear Jesus, I know that I've done things that are wrong. I know that my heart has been far from you. But Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to make me a new person. And Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, I ask for the hope that is only found in you to change me so I can become more like you. And so I give you complete control of my life. Lord, your word says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one person who has done that. Lord, we praise you for the hearts that have done that. But Lord Jesus, I know there's those that are hurting and they're broken and they're tired and they're weary. Lord Jesus, would you touch their hearts and souls? And Father, I pray as a church we would get before you and surrender all we are to you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. In just a few seconds, the ushers are going to come forward to take up our offering. And as we do it, we have these fellowship cards. If you gave your heart to Christ today for the first time, or if you have prayer requests or if you have questions, would you fill this out and drop it in either the basket or you can put it in the box. But church, I would encourage you as we do this too, if you need to get right with the Lord, come up, get right with him, give him the things that are holding you back, and let's walk out of here in freedom, amen? Let's stand and worship together.